You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a special pregame episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's show, well, it's all Rockets San Antonio talk. I know every game is big for the Rockets in this hellacious six-game stretch, which fortunately they have a 2-0 head start on. But tonight's, I think, is especially meaningful because, well, the I-10 rivalry, it's Rockets-Spurs. It's a team the Rockets are 1-2 against this year. The only team right now in the Western Conference playoff picture the Rockets are below 500 against. So I think from a confidence perspective, the Rockets would love to get this one. In terms of just fan satisfaction, I feel like this would be a big win because the game the Rockets lost to the Spurs in December, probably the most frustrating of the entire year, I would say, when you consider the Rockets had a 13-point lead with 4 minutes to go. Even without Clint Capella, played so well. We're on a 10-game winning streak at home and yet did not make the plays down the stretch. For the game, shot 6 of 38 from 3, incredibly uncharacteristic. So a very frustrating night. And, well, tonight is the first chance since then to actually get some redemption. So I know that a lot of fans are going to be ready for it. And, well, it's the hopefully the resumption of an I-10 rivalry. The thing about the Rockets and Spurs, it's a great historical rivalry. But really, since the mid-90s, there has not been a real playoff series. So this is the first chance in a while that these two teams have to play some really meaningful basketball games. Obviously, tonight is a start, but it's also a bit of a playoff preview because when you look at the standings, the Spurs and Rockets have been 2-3 pretty much all year long. So if the seedings hold to form, there's a very good shot that these two teams play in the second round of the playoffs for what should be a very quality, very long, and, well, very exhausting series if the first three games are any indications because, well, sure, the Rockets are 1-2, but all three games have gone right down to the wire and the margin is less than 10 points. So these two teams are very evenly matched, and we'll see what Monday brings in terms of offering any clues as to how they match up. Because again, I think the two games in November, while close, the Rockets, before Pat Beverley's return, there's not too much you can take out of that for them. Then you look at the December game, it was a bit uncharacteristic in terms of their three-point shooting performance, the 6 for 38. It was also the first game they were without Clint Capella, who had just broken his fibula the game before in Minnesota. So Monday, hopefully it's a setting for the Rockets to get a big win. The flip side is that, well, it's in San Antonio. That is never an easy place to play, especially for the Rockets. So it's one of those things, a lot of logic tells you that they're poised for potentially a big night, but you have to see to believe because there's a reason the Spurs, it seems like every game they're on the verge of losing. They should have lost to the Pacers last week. They should have lost to New Orleans, but yet somehow they find a way. They're incredibly well coached by Greg Popovich. So even though you can point to some advantages the Rockets probably have, at the same time, there's a reason the Spurs, despite some of their struggles, well, they have a better record than the Rockets. They're, what, 4 or 5 games up at the moment. And if the Rockets want to start making a push on San Antonio Spurs, well, it probably needs to start tonight. So to talk a little bit more about the matchup, I'm going to be joined by Jeff Garcia. He's the host of Locked On Spurs. He's the co-founder of Project Spurs, it's a blog very similar to our own Clutch Fans out in San Antonio. Jeff also writes for Fox and NBC affiliates in San Antonio about the Spurs. Really, for all things San Antonio, he's your guru. So I always like to have fun with him on Twitter because he's a San Antonio guy, I'm a Houston guy. But at the end of the day, he's got very good intel on his teams, and I just got done recording an interview with him. It's going to broadcast on his Locked On Spurs as well, but I'm going to play it here for you on Locked On Rockets. So here's my convo with Jeff Garcia previewing tonight's game.
Ben, right off the bat, I got to say, I'm kind of impressed with what the Rockets have been doing this season, and then they add Lou Williams right before the trade deadline. Solid pickup.
Yeah, and they've looked really good since, winning 4 or 5 since the break. It's absolutely a huge game because I know the standings move around a lot, but the one thing that has not moved around all season is the Spurs and Rockets in those 2-3 slots in the Western Conference. So unless something very unexpected happens down the stretch of the year, assuming the playoff seedings hold to form, you're absolutely looking at this as a second round matchup and one that, well, is likely to go 6 or 7 games if you get here because these two teams have been very solid in their seedings pretty much the entire year.
Yeah, and despite the fact that the Spurs have that 2-1 edge in the regular season meetings, these games have been very, very close. I believe the Spurs have just won their two games by 6 points. So this is not a situation where San Antonio has come in versus Houston and just throttled them, it's a test not only for the Spurs but for the Rockets.
All three games, they've been decided by less than 10 points combined. I mean, it's pretty crazy how close they've been. And as far as the Rockets are concerned, I almost feel like the two meetings in November, you can almost throw out. If you remember, it was kind of weird. They played each other. It was a back-to-back in early November. And the Rockets won the one in San Antonio. The Spurs won the one in Houston. We can almost throw it out. For the Rockets, it was before Pat Beverly was playing. And so he's a big part of what they do defensively. The other factor, that early in the season, there were legitimate questions as to how good the Rockets were, period. I think at that point they were just trying to kind of feel their way through. They got off to a 6-5 start without Pat Beverly. If you remember at the time, that was actually not that bad. And you consider the preseason expectations, which for a lot of people were for this to be just a lower-tier playoff team.
Yeah.
But it's really been from about December onward that people in Houston have kind of come to grips with, hey, this isn't just a team that's happy to make the playoffs. This is actually an upper echelon team that's, top three in the West. And so, that game in late December, that felt like, a heavyweight fight. And so I think that's what people in Houston want to see again. And it was a painful game for the Rockets because what ended up happening, the Rockets actually had a 13-point lead with 4 minutes to go, and they lost it. Now, you can point out that was the first game the Rockets did not have Clint Capella. He was out for a month, their starting center, with a broken fibula, and that probably had a little bit to do with it. But the bigger factor, the Rockets were on a 10-game winning streak at the time, but they shot just 6 of 38 from 3, a terrible performance. And it was one of those where it stung, but I think the general consensus from Houston fans is that it stung in a good way, if that makes sense, because it was one of those, it was a legitimate playoff intensity game.
Yeah, exactly. And you also throw this in for the San Antonio Spurs. That first meeting was also the debut of Danny Green. I mean, he had just got off that injury from a left quad strain. And now you fast forward to tonight's matchup. The Spurs are a lot different what they were in the first three meetings with Houston. Now Pau Gasol's coming off the bench. He has a different role. Dwayne Dedmon is now the starting center. So perhaps this is going to be the first true test between the two teams?
Yeah, I think so, because I think, like I said, the two early ones, the Rockets were still kind of sorting through their identity, and then both teams in late December, it was a little bit of a weird situation with the schedule, but now they're both going to go in fairly rested, playing fairly well. I know the Spurs have had a couple of close games lately, but the Spurs seem to have found a new rotation, as you were saying, with Dedmon in the middle. And it's funny because the Rockets were linked to Dedmon in the offseason as well. They ended up ultimately signing Nene. I think they wanted to go the veteran route because the Rockets had so many younger players on the roster. I think they wanted a little bit more veteran stability, whereas with the Spurs, it's the reverse. The Spurs have so many veterans. I think they wanted to gamble on the youth and the upside of someone like Dedmon. So ironically, even though both are playing well, I think you could argue that each ended up better off where they went. But they're both going to play pretty marquee roles in this game. And then, as you mentioned, Pau Gasol off the bench as well is it's a pretty good offensive big man to bring off your bench.
Yeah, I'm loving it that he has accepted that role coming off the bench. As he said recently in a recent game, saying he just sees it as he's just starting 5 minutes later. That's all he sees it as. So good to see that he's willing to accept that role and for the betterment of the team, because Dedmon has been playing pretty solid paired up with LaMarcus Aldridge in the paint. But Ben and I, we're going to go ahead and dive right into this right now. We're going to give each other three keys to a Spurs victory, and then Ben's going to give you, listeners, the three keys to a Rockets win. So, Ben, why don't you start us off? What is your first key for a Rockets win in San Antonio?
First key is definitely compete on the glass. It's going to go back to those two guys you've been discussing, Clint Capella and Nene. As far as the new Rockets coming out of the All-Star break, the team with Lou Williams that's gotten the additional shooting, well, not that they needed more shooting, but now they have it. The real key, they're going to be a dynamic offensive team. They can shoot. How well do they defend on the glass? And the first couple of games of last week, Saturday against Minnesota, they won 142-130. They won, but they gave up 130 points, and Minnesota just killed them on the backboards. Like, by 25 was the margin. Yeah. And they actually lost at home to Indiana on Monday, and that was a very similar story in that the Pacers out-rebounded them by close to 20. And both of those stories, Clint Capella and Nene, they can be hit or miss. They're offense first players. They're not terrible defensively, but they're just not there every night. And then the flip side, the two statement wins they had, they got a combined 22 rebounds against DeAndre Jordan. That's when the Rockets went in and basically demolished the Clippers in LA, won by 19, but really they were up by 30 after three quarters. The Rockets just clowned them,
right?
For lack of a better expression. And then Saturday against Memphis, the Rockets won by 15, and the rebounds were basically a draw. It was 46-43. So kind of the common denominator for the Rockets, when they've looked really good, the big wins against the Clippers and Memphis, Capella and Nene have held their own on the glass. They've gone in there focused. And like I said, they actually out-rebounded the Clippers by a ton, out-rebounded them by 62-36. Memphis, they drew to a draw, but, that's saying a lot because, of course, Memphis, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, that's a pretty big and physical team to begin with. So that's sort of the key, is that you know the Spurs with the likes of Deadman, LaMarcus Aldridge, Pau Gasol, there's a lot of toughness, there's a lot of length. I'm not expecting the Rockets to be the tougher team, but the question is, can the Rockets hold their own in that matchup? If they hold their own, you have to like their chances based on all the shooters. If the Spurs outmuscle them, then as well as the Rockets can shoot, they would have to shoot really, really well to overcome the deficiency inside.
Yeah, and for my first key to a Spurs win over Houston is simply this, and as much as many look at silver and black as defense-first mentality, I guess the Rockets, I think it's the opposite. The Rockets have won 7 straight games when holding the Spurs below 100 points. So the Spurs got to bring that offense. As much as they got to bring defense, I think that offense has to come. Now, against Houston, this season, starting off with Kawhi Leonard, the obvious, he's averaged 25 points per versus the team up I-10. And for the Spurs as well, you have LaMarcus Aldridge, who's averaging close to 16 points per game versus Houston this season. So the Spurs definitely have two guys that can score, but I think they need to bring a lot more than just two guys against a high-octane offensive team like Houston. So the Spurs are going to need to spread it around on the offensive end. Know that that has been kind of a trend right now where Houston can bring that defense and hold them under 100 points. They got to bring some offense as well as defense. So right off the bat, it's got to be bring in the offense. What is your key number two for Houston?
It's going to be very simple. Ryan Anderson, which version shows up? He's been very inconsistent. At this point, Ryan's not the athlete he used to be in his career. He's the starting power forward, but really, he's there to spread the floor. And he is an elite shooter. He's paid a lot of money, of course, $80 million over 4 years. But his production can be very hit or miss because, well, when you have a guy that's a shooter, you're going to have some games when you're hot, some games when you're cold. And so when you don't really have a game inside the arc, your statistics are going to vary wildly. Now, the Rockets, in most games, they'll make the case and say, hey, even if he's not making his shots, Ryan is still worth it because of how he makes you respect him on the floor, the way he has to pull defenders out all the way to 27 feet. I would argue that in most games, that's probably right. Even when he's not hitting his shots, just his value as a floor spacer means something. Against the Spurs, he's got to do something. The last game when the Spurs, I'm looking at the box score, when they won 102-100 in Houston, Ryan played 37 minutes, but he shot just 2 of 8, 7 points, 6 rebounds. Jeff, we've seen what LaMarcus Aldridge does to the Rockets over the years.
We have.
He has given the Rockets fits on the low block. And Ryan Anderson is not a good defender. He's just not. So whereas in most games you can survive with him against the kind of physicality that he's going to face in LaMarcus Aldridge, he is going to have to make his shots to be valuable. Basically, it's one of those things. Does Ryan provide you enough offensively to offset what he's going to lose on the defensive end? Because the Rockets don't really have that many other options at the four spot. Because yes, you can play small with Trevor Ariza there. Their backup power forward is Sam Decker, but Decker's kind of long. The point is, he's more of a long athlete, a little bit more in the Ryan Anderson mold, although certainly more athletic. But the bottom line is that for the Rockets, there's not really a traditional four. You need one of those guys, primarily Ryan Anderson, maybe Decker if Anderson is cold, but you need one of those guys to step up and give you something offensively because you know the Rockets are going to be disadvantaged going up against LaMarcus Aldridge.
All right, for my key number two for a Spurs win is come out hot. In the lone loss to Houston, which was back in November, the Spurs lost 99-101. Why? Because they came out flat in that first quarter. The Rockets outshot the Spurs 63% to the Spurs 33% just in the first quarter. history cannot repeat itself, especially against a high-octane offense like Houston has. The Spurs definitely have the shooters if they show up. And lately, they've been kind of hot and cold. I mean, look, they had to go to overtime versus Minnesota. They went overtime in another game prior to that. So they need to just have more of a collective shooting from everybody, and not simply just from Kawhi Leonard. You're looking at Danny Green. You're looking at Patty Mills. You're looking at Davis Bertans if he gets on the floor. You're looking at LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, Kawhi cannot do it alone. And when they come out like that flat, the Spurs tend to try to have a hard time recovering from not coming out and punching first. The Rockets exposed them that in game one. I mean, blistered them, 63% shooting. And that was pretty much the doom for San Antonio for the entire game. So let's not prevent history from repeating itself, Spurs. Come out hot in that first quarter and play three other quarters after that. And what is your final key for a Houston win?
My final key is just James Harden playing like the MVP that Houston fans expect him to be. Now, I know a lot of Rockets fans, I've harped on the 6 of 38 for a while, but the 6 of 38, it was really led. That was the three-point shooting and the loss in December that the Rockets had by two, and it was led by 1 of 11 from James Harden. And the bottom line, this is a game that's going to be really tough for the Rockets. I can tell you a lot of ways that the Rockets should be able to exploit the Spurs, but the bottom line is these are the Spurs. This is a team that's led by arguably the best head coach in NBA history in Greg Popovich. If James Harden's the MVP leader, Kawhi Leonard's not very far behind him. He's either second or third in all likelihood, I would say. So you go on the road to win a game like this. The Rockets need their best player, arguably the MVP of the league, to play like an MVP. And in that last Spurs-Rockets game, yes, he had 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists. That's a good overall stat line, but he did it. He wasn't the efficient James Harden. He was 10 of 26 from the field, 1 of 11 from 3. And that's not the James Harden. The difference between James Harden and Russell Westbrook, James is not a volume scorer. He typically does it while being more efficient. He was not able to do it that last game against the Spurs. And I also think that had a lot to do with why the Rockets as a team shot just 6 of 38 from three. Because when James didn't get it going, the Spurs knew they didn't really have to double. They could just leave Kawhi on him. Now, Kawhi didn't guard him the whole game, but Kawhi did guard him down the stretch in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the Spurs didn't feel like they had to double. And that also cost the Rockets getting open shots elsewhere. So the bottom line, this is one of those games the Rockets should be able to compete. I can tell you a lot of reasons why, especially with the Spurs kind of struggling with Minnesota and Indiana lately, that the Rockets have a good shot to win. But to get a game like this on the road, you know both teams are going to be really hyped. This is a statement game. Yes. To actually get it, James Harden has got to take them home. He's got to be the MVP, and that's something that he's certainly capable of doing, but we've got to see it more. The bottom line, I'll tell you for you listeners out in San Antonio, the story of the Rockets, when they kind of went through a lull in January and February, Harden, you could see a little bit of fatigue. I counted before these last two games against the Clippers and Grizzlies, it was an 11-game stretch. He shot just 37% from the field. And the bottom line was, while he's probably the MVP of the league over the first 45 or 50 games, you could tell that he carried an enormous workload. It started to catch up with him. And I called him out for it a little bit this time last week. The good news is that since then, the two big wins against the Clippers and Grizzlies, he shot over 50% from the field, 50% from three. He's really, just playing great ball, locked in, leading his team, all that good stuff. But he's got to do that and more to come out with a big win in San Antonio. So that's definitely my third and biggest key for the Rockets to get that win.
And my third and biggest key for the Spurs to get the win is bring the defense. You look at what Houston is doing on the season. They are averaging 115.3 points per game, good for second in the NBA. But against the Spurs, they've been held well below that. And the two wins that the Spurs have had over Houston, they held them to an even 100. Literally 100 points in the last two wins for the Spurs. And that gives them a two-game winning streak versus Houston. It gets even better defensively for San Antonio and why they got the wins in the recent games. San Antonio is averaging 11 steals per game versus Houston. They're averaging 7 blocks per game versus Houston. Looking at a guy like the MVP candidate, James Harden, he is averaging, and obviously this is nothing to sneeze at, 26.7 points per game and 11.7 assists per game and 11 rebounds per game versus the Spurs, and that's gaudy. I mean, that's awesome. But on the season, he's averaging much more than that. But the Spurs have been keen on him from his three-point range. He's only shot 4-25 from the three-point range versus San Antonio. So the Spurs definitely have the defense to do that. And speaking of three-point shooting, Houston is shooting 27% from the three-point range versus San Antonio this season. Look, the Spurs, as I mentioned in the beginning, predicate everything on defense. This season is showing it. They're second in the NBA, holding teams to 98.2 points per game. The Spurs have to do that again tonight versus Houston. If they don't do that, it might look like a long night for the Spurs versus Houston. So bring that defense, Spurs. Should be able to get that regular season series 3-1, hopefully. Ben, great talking with you. Where can fans find you on the internet and all that good stuff?
Absolutely. At Ben Dubose, at Locked On Rockets. Appreciate you for having me on. Appreciate being able to do this joint segment. And like I said, the bottom line is that no matter who wins Monday night, we're going to have a lot to talk about the weeks ahead. Because barring something unexpected, I think the odds are pretty good with where these teams have been all year that we're going to have a pretty fun I-10 playoff series just a couple of months from now.
Oh, I cannot wait. And it'll be good to rekindle that rivalry once again and with a new breed of Houston and Spurs players.
That's Jeff Garcia, host of Locked On Spurs, works with the Fox and NBC affiliates in San Antonio, also co-founder of Project Spurs. Don't know how to say it any better than we just did. I think that was a well-rounded preview. I know we don't normally do that here on Locked On Rockets. We do a lot of post-game episodes, not necessarily a preview, because in terms of looking at any one individual game, usually there's stuff you can take out of it afterward in terms of each individual player's performance and where it fits within the broader narrative of the overall Rockets season. But in terms of each individual game, there's not so much significance about that one result in the big picture. But tonight might be the exception. As we were saying leading off, the Rockets and Spurs, this is a matchup that they're likely to see in the playoffs. It's the only team in the Western Conference that the Rockets are below 500 against in the Western Conference playoff picture, I should say. So definitely this is a big one for the Rockets. They would feel very good if they can get it. Can they? Well, stay tuned because it's just a few hours away, a big showdown in San Antonio. Anyway, for now, I will leave it there because there's not much else to add besides what we have already discussed. If you're not already following me on Twitter, I hope you do so soon. You can do that at Ben Dubose. The show, you can do it at Locked On Rockets. You can also subscribe to us at Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, wherever you subscribe to your media, just search for Locked On Rockets. You can find any of our 150 some odd episodes. For that matter, you can also find Locked On Spurs or any other shows across this Locked On Podcast Network, which covers every NBA and NFL team on a daily basis. That's what we strive to do. You can also email me at lockdownrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions, suggestions, or advertising inquiries about potentially becoming a sponsor of this rapidly growing program in the future. For now, enjoy your Monday. It's a start to the week. And for the Rockets, well, it's the continuation of a big six-game stretch. Spurs tonight, Jazz Wednesday, Bulls Friday, and then Cavaliers on Sunday night at Toyota Center. So it's going to be a busy week, but it's going to be a fun week in which we learn a lot more about the Rockets. And, well, hopefully it's the same as what we've seen the last two statement games, Wednesday against the Clippers and Saturday against Memphis, both big wins. What happened again in San Antonio? Stay tuned. Whatever happens, we'll have you covered after the game here at Locked On Rockets. I look forward to talking to you guys then.